Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast for all ages from... ...to...
Not the bees!
...and everything in between. I'm Tiernan, again. Yes, hello, it's still me. And this week, I'm hoping this episode sounds okay, as I have to let you know, my headphones are broken. Now, I don't know if you listeners understand how recording things like this podcast works, but I need headphones so that people can make calls to my head to tell me how to do stuff for the show. That's definitely how headphones work. It's like, you know, you have telephones for making phone calls. You have mobile phones to make calls to baby toys. Cell phones to call individual tiny cells in the human body or animal bodies. Megaphones, those are to make big calls. Gramophones, they are there to call your elderly relatives. Saxophones, they're to call any ancient Saxon warriors. Polyphones, those are to call anyone called Polly. I don't know why people called Polly get their own special phone, but they do. Allophones, those are just to call people. Just say allo and nothing else. And of course, microphones, which I also use for this show. And they are for calling very, very small things. Not as small as cells, as obviously there are cell phones for that, which is what I said earlier. But without my microphone, none of the insects who listen to this show, or the tardigrades, or indeed the bacteria, would be able to tune in. And that is a real shame, as well, they're a large part of the audience, but also the bacteria really help Radio Nonsense go viral. Pretty sure that's how it works. I mean, if a word has the same word at the end of it, then it's just a different version of the same thing, right? Isn't it? That's how it works, isn't it? Linda, how do words work? Linda. Maybe she doesn't know, which is why she never uses any. But I mean, like, okay, think about brushes, right? You get a toothbrush, a toilet brush, a hairbrush, a mushroom brush, which should be called a brush room, right? And then there's a horse brush, a cat's tongue brush, a paintbrush, an airbrush. They're all brushes, and you can kind of just use any of them for brushing things, can't you? I mean, you could brush your horse with a toilet brush, or you could brush your hair with a cat's tongue brush, and I'm sure that would be absolutely fine. You could probably brush your teeth with a mushroom brush. Password, foreword, crossword, sword, sword. Right, that's right, you thought swords were a weapon, but no, swords, that's how you said it, and it was knights who used to go round defeating the enemies by calling them an S-word, like your silly sausage face, or your stink bag stupido, or you Stephen. Yeah, it's really powerful, and that's why those knights were never defeated. Fog, hog, bog, grog, they're all just different types of og. And whistle and thistle are, of course, types of issel. I don't make the rules, that is just how words work. So what I'm saying is my headphones aren't letting anyone call my head anymore, and I need new ones. And I'm worried about how this week's show will go when there's absolutely no one advising me what to say. I mean, will I remember to check the mailbag? Who knows? Oh, wait, now I've said it. Yeah, actually, I'd better have a look. Okay, let's see. Oh, this week we have a lovely review from Copnop in the US, who has sent all of the emojis, like all of them, absolutely all of them, along with the word farty. And it's that kind of insight that we need on this show. And look, I really appreciate it, Copnop. I don't know if that means you're a policeman called, or a police person called Nop, Or if you are, if that's your first, your full name, Copnop, or I don't know, it's very confusing. Anyway, but yes, Farty. And I do hope that's a greeting or the way that you approve of things in the bit of the US that you live in. Like, yeah, that sandwich was real farty. Or, you know, farty do to you. So I did that bit okay without any headphones. Like nobody had to call my head and tell me how to do it. But will I remember to do the bit where I tell you how to get in touch with the show? Oh, wait, now I've said it. I can probably have a go, can't I? If you would like to leave a review for the show, you can do that on any of the places podcasts hide, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Barnabas's Giant Podquarium, or the Big Shed of Pods. I'm not sure if those last two are real, but they probably are. And if you have a question that needs answering, or a joke you'd like read out on the show, or, well, anything really, then please get your stinkbag stupidos, I'm sorry, grown-ups, to help you email in at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. If you'd like to see our Comedy Club for Kids shows live, we are doing loads and loads and loads and loads all over the summer, and you can find out when we're near you at comedyclubforkids.co.uk. You can check out our t-shirts and book at comedyclubforkids.store, and of course, please, please, please do listen to the Bust or Trust podcast, which I also co-host, and that has just finished for season one with some excellent mysteries and silliness, so do catch up now. Right, you know what, listeners, I'm not sure I need anyone calling my head. You know, I think I can do this just fine by myself. I think I've done it enough now. I think I know how to do a podcast without someone ringing in and calling my brain. Maybe I never needed headphones in the first place. Wow. Well, look, I'm going to practice more without any headphones at all. And when you come back from hearing the most important bit, it's likely I'm never going to need them ever again.
Oh, headphones.
I am so excited that returning to the podcast today is the one and only Essex Sears, a.k.a. Essex Sears, who's never seen a rabbit's ears, a.k.a. Commander S. Express Sears for Fears of the Cronut Squad, or as all our Luxembourgish-speaking listeners know you, Die Nien Auspinen Huit. But of course, most will know you for your globally renowned books of one-word poetry, for your charitable work helping return shoes from on top of bus stops to their rightful owners, and of course, most famously, for starting the fashion trend known as goat couture. Essex, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Hang on, do rabbits have ears?
Yeah, now look, I understand that you've got, you know, you're unable to see them, and this is very rare, but they do, they've always had ears, yes.
Oh, because I see them as bald men.
I know, right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so I'm guessing that the ears would act as hairs, but because I can't see the ears, and I didn't realise until now that they even had ears, they're just hoppity bald men.
Right, so this is fascinating, because I wasn't aware that you didn't know they had ears. I just knew that you couldn't see them, and
no,
I
because
wondered
I can't
if there
see
was
them.
A...
I never, yeah,
sure,
I never knew.
You didn't believe it when people said that they had ears. As how did you assume that rabbits heard things?
Oh, I didn't think they did. You know how they hop about. I just imagined that. Yeah, they just live in their own little worlds, just happily hopping along.
I mean, that sounds much more blissful, I think.
Doesn't it? No one calling you to come down for breakfast. No one telling you to pick up your socks. Do rabbits wear socks? Oh, already there's too many questions.
This is a lot of questions. Rabbits do, I'm not sure if you're aware, they do have feet. They definitely have feet.
Yeah.
Whether or not they wear socks, I'm not sure of, I have to say. I do know that there's a cartoon called Peter Rabbit. Have you seen that before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's talking in that. So, I should have assumed that he could hear.
But okay. It's an interesting, because it's a very rare thing that you have. You can see ears on other animals, can't you, as far as I know?
I can. Yes, snails, slugs, worms. Worms have massive ears.
Right.
Right. And, you know, have you ever seen them having to drag their ears around?
Right. Is it, what do their ears look like? I'm worried now that I have a problem where I can't see worms' ears. Because I thought worms didn't have ears.
No, they definitely have ears. They're triangular.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of revelations so far, and I think after this, we're both going to have a lie down and have a think about the ear universe.
That's very true. I mean, it is entirely possible that just where you are, rabbits don't have ears, and where I am, worms don't have it. You know, there is that we're not taking into account. I have done some travelling. I haven't travelled everywhere, you know, so animals might have different ears.
Maybe it's a Welsh thing. Maybe in Wales, where I live, rabbits don't have ears. And I've got nothing to compare that with.
Yeah, because in Wales, you have Welsh rarebit, which is like a rabbit, but it's less common, I think, isn't it? It's a rarebit.
Yeah, it is. And it's rare for them to have ears.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wonder if that's where that comes from.
I think so. Yeah. I think we've solved the riddle of the rabbit.
I think that's very, and also I'm in city, I'm in London, and I think worms have evolved not to have ears here because it's just really noisy all the time, and they thought
I don't think worms could cope in cities if they could hear everything that goes on.
No, they've got to get on with their business and 9 to 5
jingles.
All the jingles. Yeah, it's
all the jingles. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to start with such a big revelation. I hope that hasn't kind of shook you too much for the rest of the chat, because it is lovely to have you back, and I hope you're doing all right otherwise, apart from the rabbit ear news.
I am good. Yes, I'm very good. Today I'm feeling quite tepid. And I've never felt tepid before, so this is a new thing for me as well. You know how tea goes a bit tepid when you haven't drunk it quickly enough? That's how I feel today.
So it's not quite warm and it's not quite cold, is it? It's slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's not an enjoyable cup of tea, so I can't promise that I'm going to be enjoyable today.
Wow. Maybe I should ask if you can check. Are you sitting in a cup of tea right now?
Oh, no, I'm not. Although my bum does feel a bit wet. Well, maybe I should check that out.
Maybe you're sitting in a cold cup of tea and you
maybe I am sitting in a cup. I hadn't realised.
Yeah.
No, I just thought I had a wet bum.
Yeah,
and that was just normal. Oh, my God, okay.
Well, a wet bum might be normal, but a tepid wet bum, that feels very extraordinary to me.
It does. It will make the local newspaper, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if you've got like one of those record-breaking giant cups of tea. People love that stuff. If it's huge.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
There should be. I wonder why hot tub companies haven't developed hot tubs that look like massive cups.
Wouldn't do you know, nice? I agree. It would be lovely. My theory on this is because, have you ever been to a teacups ride at a fairground or a theme park?
I have.
Yeah. And my worry is if you had a bathtub that looked like a teacup, people would queue up to get in it and think it was like part of a theme park. And then you'd never, ever get to have a bath.
That's true. And they'd expect to be spun around in it. And then all the tea would just be thrown out of the cup.
Yeah. Be a
nightmare. Oh, I'm having some really bad ideas this morning.
Well, that's okay.
Scrap that.
But this is like one of those, this is how people do ideas. You know, they sort of throw lots of ideas at a wall and some of them stick and some of them don't. I'm sure that by the end of this chat, there'll be one idea that is the best idea anyone's ever had in the world.
Sure. And maybe the advice is do not throw a teacup against the wall. I don't think that's a good idea, especially if it's full of tepid tea.
Yes. Well, they say that you've had a good idea there. That's a good idea to not throw tea against the wall. We're already back, kind of on.
We're
a positive
already
route.
Back.
Yes, yeah. So, well, I'm sorry to hear about your tepidness. Tepidinose.
That's all right. You don't have to apologise for it. It's not your fault.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, then I feel a bit better now. As long as it's not my fault, I'm not. Sometimes I'm not sure what I am and what I'm not responsible for, and you just have to check.
Sure, but you're great on that. Something else might come up in a minute, and it will be completely your fault. And I will let you know about that as well.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's well, yeah. Well, I hope you're to be, you know, you haven't got a lot of stuff planned for the week. Your tepidness isn't going to put you off other exciting adventures.
Yeah, time will tell. Well, maybe something will happen to reheat the tepidity. Mm. Like when you put a tepid cup of tea in the microwave, it never tastes as good when it's reheated, but there's something quite comforting in the heat. So, yeah, who knows? Who knows what this week will bring?
That's fair. I like it. I like to think that we should all kind of... It's hard because I don't know how many of our listeners drink tea. I mean, I think that, you know, from babies, children should drink tea. They should just have tea poured, like, sort of, you know, just through a little straw. I don't know if you can mash up tea and put it on a spoon, but I feel like everyone should have tea all the time. I like tea.
I think so. Yeah, from birth, I think, you know, when you're fed by your mother in a bottle, it should all be tea.
Yeah,
I think it creates a politer society when everyone drinks tea.
And I think then babies would learn to hold the bottle with their little pinky fingers up, like, which is what you have to do when you drink tea, isn't it? And then they'd learn forevermore that that's what you have to do. Yeah, yeah.
It'd be very hard to dunk a biscuit in a baby bottle, though, wouldn't it?
Oh,
because of it's closed, so there's no open bit in a baby bottle where you can dunk a bourbon biscuit.
That's hard. And also, you know what? Because babies get rusks, and rusks are 100% for dunking. Like, there's no point to a rusk if you're not going to... I know it's meant to be for, like, gnawing on, but come on, it's a dunking biscuit, right?
Yeah. Oh, it could hold a lot of moisture, I imagine, a rusk.
Yeah.
It's quite dense.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to think about this. Okay, we need to create teacups for babies. Maybe that's the business idea.
I think a winning idea. Teacups for babies, made with the finest china, or do you think it should be made?
Oh, the finest. No. Babies deserve the best. Yeah,
that's right.
But also because rusks are quite big, aren't they? So the area of the teacup needs to be quite big. So I'm imagining that the teacups would be bigger than a baby's head.
Yes. Huge cups of finest china tea for baby. This sounds very safe, very clever, and I think
very safe.
A winning idea. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no pitfalls here.
There's no pitfalls, and I think, you know, great for the tea industry. I'm sure all the tea companies would be wanting to have a whole new audience to sell tea to.
Yeah, and babies famously have a lot of money to spend on things like tea.
Yes, they do. They do. That's why people say babies
it's an untapped market.
Yeah,
they are expensive, and it's because they have loads of money.
Yeah. So they only want the finest stuff. It's good. Yeah. Is there another avenue here as well? What do you think about tea for pets?
No? I have a dog. I have a sheepdog, and he is a very messy drinker. And it's hard enough mopping up water after him, because when he drinks, for some reason, all the water, more water spills out of the bowl when he drinks than actually goes down his throat. And I mean, water spillage is one thing. Having to go around with a mop and follow him around to mop up tea constantly, I don't have the time for that.
Sure. Well, I'm going to check. So he's a sheepdog. Can I just check on his name? Sorry. What's his name?
Tum. Tum,
That's a good name. I like that, Tum. Is it like, how would you feel about, what if sheeps were dunked in tea, so their wool was like tea filled, and then when he chased them, he would get tea, or sort of as he herded the sheep? Is that like, I'm wondering if, what I'm saying is maybe we need to cater tea to the drinker.
Okay, yes. So maybe we think of a way that he can drink the tea without spilling it, and maybe it's from sheep's wool.
Would that make sense? I don't really know how sheepdogs work. I'm guessing as he chases sheep, he'd sort of get a straw out, drink from the wool. Is that how sheepdogs work?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, or maybe as he's running behind them, some of the tea just comes off the wool straight into his mouth. Yeah, that would be okay. And also, if there's any tea spillage, then the sheep can just come back round and mop it up with their wool, and then I don't have to do anything.
This is a great. This is a fantastic plan.
Oh, you see, yeah. we've really recovered from the initial.
Yeah, I think so.
Conversation.
If anything,
we had, yeah.
Yeah, being tepid was an inspiration. So,
Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah, that's it. Can I? Does Tim actually herd sheep? Like, is that something that he does, or is he seeking other?
Me.
Right.
So we have sheep in the field behind the house, but he's not allowed in the field. But so what he does, because he's not allowed to herd sheep, he then herds me. So as I try and leave the house, he tries to pen me in to take me to market. And he's succeeded twice, and I've had to be bought back by my kids with their pocket money, because I was sold in a market to a farmer, and it was a bit of a disaster. My kids had to pool all their pocket money to buy me back. So
wow. Yeah. Were you happy about that, or were you excited about life on a farm?
I mean, it was all very exciting. You know, when in the market, when they do the whole talking quickly thing, the Yorkshireneer, they do this.
Yeah,
that was very exciting. Like, my adrenaline peaked at that point. I had no idea what they were saying. But then as soon as I was sold, the reality of it, you know, hit. And I just don't think I could live in a barn.
Sure. Yeah, bit cold at times. If you don't like being tepid, you wouldn't like being in a barn.
No.
That's
fair. So I have to be careful now, because I don't doubt that he will try and round me up again and try and send me to market again. So I have to be very wary every morning.
Are you worried about just yourself there? Because if he learns to people herd, would he be a peep dog? I don't know. But would he, you know, are you going to find that you go out and suddenly he's rounded up 20, 30 people and shoved them all into your car?
That would be annoying, wouldn't it?
Mm.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. I just think because we live in quite a rural area, there aren't 20 or 30 people in that local area for round up. I mean, maybe he'd round up our neighbours, Sue and Nigel. Maybe they'd end up in the back seat of the car. But Sue and Nigel, they're quite good runners. So actually, I think they've learned to run away from him quite quickly.
That's good. That's very good. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if you need to. I don't know if you can retrain sheepdog to chase other things. If you can't do sheep and sort of herding people is problematic. Like, could he herd ants? Is there something that he could herd that maybe wouldn't cause an issue?
I mean, food would be good if he could herd cakes.
Yes. Oh,
I wouldn't
goodness.
Mind that.
Yeah.
So like every afternoon, you know, he'd just suddenly on the drive, he would have herded, you know, two Battenbergs, an Eccles cake, and some cupcakes. I mean, genuinely, that would change my life for the better.
Well, I hope that's possible. That sounds fantastic. I think, and then everyone would want a cake dog. I think
they would. Yeah, and then where would they round up all the cakes? Because they'd all be rounding up cakes, so there wouldn't be enough cakes to round up. Maybe we should park that there.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope you manage to sort out Tim rounding up cakes just for you, and then maybe we don't tell anyone else about it.
Yeah, maybe let's not tell anyone else. No one listens to this, do they? No one will find out about our amazing plan.
I'm sorry to say that our listeners do have ears.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know that.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm sure they'll be very polite about it, and they'll be too busy working out how to give babies tea. So, you know.
That's true, yeah. Keep him distracted with that.
It'll be fine, yeah. Well, listen, thank you. I hope you're feeling a bit more sort of less tepid now. And I've actually got several very important questions to ask you, thanks to one of our listeners. We'll get to that in a minute. Before that, and I'm aware that you've done this before being on this show, but I do have two admin questions to ask you. Is that okay to ask you some admin?
Yeah, hit me.
Fantastic.
Oh, don't actually hit me. That's not...
No, well, that was where, you know, we were talking earlier about I don't know what I am and not responsible. That would be my fault. So I'm not going to do that.
No, but I think because I told you to hit me, then.
Yeah, but it's still,
that's really
sure.
my fault. So
maybe don't. And I won't. Yeah, okay. I'll just ask you.
I won't invite you to do that now.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. I feel like we both escaped that situation. Sure. Well, the first bit of admin is that, as I sort of mentioned, I know it's a bit of a surprise to you, actually, but our listeners do have ears. This is an audio podcast, and they tend to listen to it with their ears, but they may also listen with their bums or their knees. We don't mind however they choose to do it. And so I just wondered if you have a favourite noise that you could make for us so they can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my current favourite noise is... because it means that something is about to be announced. That noise is never made without it being followed by some kind of announcement.
Yeah, but the announcement, because it's not quite I'm clearing my throat, is it? It's not quite like if you get like a crisp stuck in your throat, that's not the noise you make.
No. It's a noise that it demands attention from people. Mm. You've made that noise deliberately. It's loud enough for people to stop mid-conversation without you having to shout at them to shut up. Mm. And then there'll be some kind of announcement. Sometimes it's a very boring announcement, like, you know, please shut the door. Or you know, maybe a dragon has landed on the roof. Like, it will lead to some sort of announcement.
Have you ever done it when there's no announcement to be made? Have you ever just done it to throw people off, to make them think there's an announcement coming?
I did once, but it became very chaotic because people were excited about receiving an announcement. And then when they found out that there was no announcement, they got very irate. Sure. People do not like to feel like they were about to get an announcement and then receive nothing.
Yeah, so it's got to be used with responsibility and caution.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a very, very important noise that should be guarded.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably, if you made it by accident, which is obviously unlikely because you wouldn't, it's only made, but if you make it by accident, I think you'd probably get out of it by announcing something really trivial, like, oh, I've got no socks. Or, you know, you could get yourself out of it, couldn't you?
Yeah, out of the socks.
Well, out of the situation, if you found yourself making the noise and you didn't mean to make it, but then you don't have an announcement, there must be.
But I think you can only make that excuse once.
Sure.
It's a bit like the story of the boy that cried wolf. You know, it's the woman who made an announcement and didn't.
Yes.
You can only do that once.
Yeah, so it's a longer story, that one, but it's also very important. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very important. Well, it's a great noise. Thank you for doing it. We definitely haven't had that on the podcast before.
Right.
And the other bit of admin, of course, I have to ask you is that this show is suitable for people of all ages, any age that you can imagine. I don't know if you're able to imagine an age.
-7.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Any minus 7-year-olds listening, they're very, very welcome. All ages, not 100, long story, won't go into it, but every other age except 100. And so I just wanted to check if there are any rude words that you won't be saying on this show.
I won't be saying tea.
Oh.
We have said that word a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have asked me that question right at the top of the episode.
It's funny because when we were talking about it, I didn't think of, I don't know, I forgot who was listening, and maybe it's not suitable for this show to be saying tea.
We got so caught up in our amazing ideas that we didn't even think about the rudeness of that word. Okay, let's never speak of that brown liquid again.
I mean, it does also then pose the problem, if you do tea for babies, but the word tea is too rude for babies, we're going to have to call it something else.
And you just said it twice there.
I'm just saying it so that people know that I won't be, you know, it is important in a way by us saying tea so many times earlier. It's sort of getting people ready to know that it won't be said again.
Yeah, I'm just worried now that everyone who's listening is going to be going, you know, to school or to their office, and they're just going to be saying it freely, and it'll be our fault.
Yeah. Is there anything, I was wondering if I could do some clever editing or something, maybe I can change it to P or knee.
Or a kettle boiling, the noise of a kettle boiling over
oh,
it.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes they beep over, so they know the context that it's being used in, which is the context has been fine, but that's maybe good. Just a rolling boil over that word.
Yeah. And then they'll assume, because you're being tepid, that maybe you're sitting in a kettle all along.
Sure.
Yeah. Which adds a whole different level of jeopardy to the show. Well, this is,
this podcast is a minefield.
It is. It always is. And, you know, it's why listeners, they know what they're tuning into. It is educational, but in maybe ways that they aren't expecting. They'll all learn from this. They'll all learn not to say tea and it'll be fine. So thank you for not saying tea.
Good. And I hope that's the last time you say it.
It definitely is. I won't say tea ever again. So thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Are you mystified by mysteries?
Or can you crack the craziest cases?
We're looking for chief detectives to join us on our investigations into some of the strangest stories from around the world.
We'll analyse aliens, look for the Loch Ness Monster and hunt out curses. We'll present you with the best evidence and the most interesting facts.
And then it'll be up to you to decide and tell us what you think.
Will you be a Mythbuster like me?
Or a Mythtruster like me?
If you want to be our chief detective, join us on Bust or Trust, a kids' mystery podcast. Every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all other places you listen to podcasts.
Now, listen, Essex, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. We've got a lot of questions. We've had this listener. We've had Ava, who says she has aged 11 cookbooks, which I'm not sure if you're aware of the way of measuring age with cookbooks. But I think that means she's about... I think that means she's 37, maybe.
Okay. 11 cookbooks. Are they cookbooks? Hardback cookbooks?
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Paperback.
Oh, if they're paperback, I think it means she's about 8 years old. So it's tricky. I don't know.
Yeah.
She didn't specify. Somewhere between 8 years old and 37. That's how old.
Okay, we can work with that. Yeah.
So that's Ava. That's all she said. And she has asked a lot of questions. Okay, and I feel like you are the person that can answer these. But we might just have to almost speed through them because there's a lot here. Some of them may demand a big answer. Some of them may demand a small answer. How would you, do you want all the questions at once said really fast? Would you like them one at a time? Would you like them in reverse order? Is there anything that you'd like to request before I tell you these questions?
How many questions are there?
5. There's definitely 5.
So there's over 4 questions. That's a lot of questions.
And I know in your contract it said no more than 4 questions. Mm. And I am sorry, but this is what Ava's sent in.
I mean, I'm happy to answer them one at a time, and then I will take you to court for asking me a 5th.
That's fine. Maybe I can find a way to ask the 5th so it's not a question and it's more of a statement.
Okay, I will leave that with you then.
Well, I'll wait for that. Okay, well, let's start with question number 1, which is, where do hair bands go?
Have you ever been to a badger fair? Okay.
No, I haven't. I wish I could say that I have, but we don't, I haven't had any around here.
I don't think many people have, but badgers have fairs, like humans have fairs. I love a fair. Mm. Badgers have fairs once every 3 months usually, and they have the equivalent of a coconut sty, like a coconut stall, where you throw rings over coconuts. But for badgers, it's not coconuts, it's walnuts, and instead of the rings they use hairbands,
right?
Because so they're the badges. Perfect size, yeah. So badgers take them to be used in the fair.
Wow. And I mean, also, this is slightly open my eyes, because when I read the word hair bands, I assumed it was sort of musical bands made up of hairy creatures, hairy people.
Oh, that's interesting. No,
but
you're wrong.
But it's not. It's the other
the actual hair bands. Yeah, the bobbles specifically. Yeah.
Right. That makes a lot more sense. And also because badgers are always quite short-haired, so they wouldn't think to use hair bands for anything
else.
They
have no need for them. No.
Yeah.
It's just for the for the nut stall.
Yes. Wow. Well, that was very. Thank you for answering that so succinctly. And also, I should just say for the other listeners, hair bands, as in musical bands, where they go is wherever their tour schedule sends them to, and you normally have to check their website to see.
Yeah, you shouldn't even have to ask that question.
Yeah, it's really silly in today's day and age. If you like mm-hmm. a hair band, check them out. Well, okay, let's ask question number two then. That was great. Wow, you really got that one. Question number two, this is perhaps a bigger question, so I'll read it with some caution. Why do people say couch potato and not sofa potato? Big one.
It is a big one. I like to think it's because the class system doesn't exist as it used to now, so we don't all have to pretend that we're posh anymore. Right. So we can say couch without being thrown in jail.
Right. And why? Right, okay, so we can say it, but potatoes have obviously decided they don't want to be, you know, there must be something on the part of the potato to say we don't want to be sofa potatoes.
Oh, no, they don't get a say in it. The potato doesn't get a say. We've made that decision, yeah.
Oh.
The potatoes have no rights. I don't know where you got that impression that potatoes had any say in anything. No.
Well, I thought because they had eyes that potatoes have eyes, don't they?
They do have eyes.
Corn has ears and potato has eyes. So I thought they can see what's going on.
Yeah, they can see what's going on, but they cannot have any opinions. That's why potatoes can be made into so many things, because if they had a say in it, they would never have allowed themselves to be turned into so many different things. So you've got crisps, chips, fries, curly fries, wedges, mash, roast potatoes, dauphinoise.
Wow, yeah.
That's all the potatoes. Potato would have agreed to that.
What's the one where it was like really thinly sliced and put on top of, is that, what's it called?
Dauphinoise? No. Confit potato is that.
Yeah, that's like, it. Is it that one?
Yeah.
There's croquettes as well.
Croquettes
are big time. Yeah. Waffles. Yeah. Did you say waffles?
Waffles, yeah. Which I like to call, I don't call them potato waffles. I call them potato windows.
Oh,
they look a bit
beautiful.
Like windows.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that poetic?
If you get spaghetti hoops, and then I don't know what, you'd have to just use bits of normal spaghetti and a potato waffle. You can play noughts and crosses, or tic tac toe, as Americans would call it, with a little spaghetti hoop as your circles, bits of spaghetti as the
you
crosses,
could.
In a potato waffle, and then you can eat it. Whoever wins eats it.
I'd never thought of that, but I'm definitely going to do that. And the potato cannot argue with that. Because
it has no
opinions. So
no. Wow. Well, that I learned that today. I thought potatoes had rights. I'm a bit sad. Is there something just worth asking before we move on? Because I feel like you've already answered this, really. But is there something about, we say couch potato because if you say sofa potato, people might think it's just a potato that's very far away.
No,
it's not. right. Okay, I thought. How far potato, so far potato. That's what I was, but it's not that, no.
No, I mean, the potato is on the couch.
So sure, of course. Yeah.
It's never far away.
Yeah, and also when it's there, it can then watch the TV with its eyes.
Yes, yeah. But it can't express an opinion on the programme it's watching.
It can't choose what channel to watch, which is awful. Oh, wow, that is hard. Wow, well, look, listen, that was great, thank you. That's question number two down. Right, question number three. I don't know where to begin with this question. It's really thoughtful. She's really put some planning into this. Question number three is, what would happen if you were trapped inside a grape?
I don't think anything would happen. Because no one would notice because you'd be inside a grape, and I don't know how anyone would know that you were inside the grape, and also nothing would really happen to you either because you'd just be in the grape, and I think you'd be quite happy about it. I feel like being inside a grape would feel a bit like, you know, when you swaddle a baby, when you wrap a baby up really tightly in blankets. I think it would be like that, but with continuous access to grape juice.
Oh,
And that sounds like the ideal scenario.
That sounds lovely. That sounds like a great... That sounds like a really lovely thing to happen, actually. You wouldn't be scared that you were going to get eaten?
No, not necessarily, because I don't think anyone finishes a punnet of grapes, do they? There are always grapes left over in the fridge. Yes. So actually, statistically, you won't be eaten.
Yeah, and then the grape will go off and you'll just sort of fall out of it and then you'll be you'll be free.
Yeah, and no one would be any the wiser that you were ever in there.
It sounds like a lovely experience, and I hope like spa centres offer this soon. It's like, would you like to be trapped inside a grape for 3 or 4 days? Grape juice and relaxing and wow.
So you would go from the brown liquid that we cannot mention in the hot tub shaped like a cup, a china cup, into the grape. Oh, and you would feel 100 years younger when he came out.
Yes.
It would be perfect.
Yes, whereas because you drank all the juice, the grape would look like a raisin. So it would almost be like reverse. That's amazing.
It would. Yeah. And then you could eat the raisin, probably, I imagine.
Whoa. This is more great ideas. I mean, admittedly, Ava will have to take a percentage on this one. It was sort of her, you know.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I wonder what kind of lawyer Ava has. I imagine she'll go for 50% of this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm. Maybe she might accept being paid in grapes, though. So.
Maybe. Yeah. As long as there's no one inside the grapes.
That's yes. Also, yes.
It's when we pay her. Yeah.
Wow. Well. Thank you. I think that was a very calming answer. I feel a lot better after that answer, actually. And I'm now going to look for grapes that are my size. I don't know if they're out there, but I hope I one day find one I can just have a little nap in. Question 4, then, which may be your last question. I'll see what I do when we get to
legally.
Question 5.
It's my last.
Legally,
question,
it's your last question. That's it. Yeah. Question 4: why are trainers called trainers in the UK, but in the US they say sneakers?
Because in the US, people who run are very sneaky, and in the UK, we prefer to take the train.
Yeah.
So we tend to wear trainers on a train. People in America wear trainers and are very sneaky. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't really know why she needed to ask this question, to be honest.
That's good. Well, because I think you've clarified what I wasn't sure. Are we just always practicing to be sneaky? We're training. And then the US, they're professional. They're already creeping around. But you pointed out, actually, no, we could sneak around if we wanted to.
But we've just decided to take the train instead.
Yeah.
And that's the opposite of sneaky. So either you're sneaky or you're on the train. That's the opposite.
Well, because if you're sneaky, no one knows if when you're going to arrive, if you're even there. Whereas if you're on the train, they know exactly what time you'll arrive, unless there's sort of cancellations or delays.
Yes. And I mean, there's a horn, there's steam sometimes, there's a lot of noise. You're announcing your arrival constantly. So there's no opportunity to be sneaky on a train.
Yes,
Nor should there be. Yeah.
Right. Well, that was the 4 questions you're legally allowed to. Let me see. There is a 5th question here. Now, I know I can't ask it to you. So what about if I, you might not be happy with this. What about if I don't ask it to you, but I just say it out loud and it happens to be that, you know, if you want to respond to it, that's your call. It's just something that's going to happen while we're talking, you know, could be like, just something in the vicinity. If there were rabbits around, they would hear it. You know, that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, if it's dark outside at night, then what are curtains for? Because they're not blocking any light at night when you need them, because there's no light to block. Guys? Should we have a conversation about that statement I made in a friendly manner that wasn't at all a question?
So, this is a very interesting conversation that we're now having about curtains or lack of curtains. I don't think... my understanding is that badgers do not like you watching them as they attend the fair. So hanging curtains over windows and closing the curtains at night, it's not about the darkness or the light element. It's more about us not being able to see out. And so we cannot watch the badgers as they attend the fair. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah, it's great because, you know, if we can see out, then we see all the people in the US sneaking about. We see the badgers. We see all the things that go bump in the night, bumping into things, which is quite embarrassing for them.
Yeah,
you know, it's
and if we could see all of this, Ava would have no questions. So, actually, those curtains are up, so Ava was able to send in way too many questions.
Far too many. Yeah. Yeah, and she wouldn't go to sleep either. You're not going to go to bed if there's all that stuff to watch out the window. So
no, exactly. Yeah, so yeah. It's to block out all the fun we could be watching outside.
Yeah, well, that was great. Just conversational chit chat at the end there.
Lovely conversation.
That, and legally, I'm safe, aren't I? I'm safe legally, or I'm...
Yeah, no one was arrested. The police weren't called. We're good.
Ooh, thank goodness for that. Well, thank you. Well, and thank you so much for answering. Those are fantastic answers, apart from the end one, which was, of course, just a conversation. And, you know, busy day ahead, or are you just sort of going to try and stop feeling tepid?
Yes, I might try and reach a rolling boil at some point. I'm not quite sure how I will get there yet. Maybe being chased by my dog will help increase the temperature. And just sit here hoping he'll find me some cake.
Good luck. Listen, good luck. Well, thank you, Essek.
Thank you.
Just wonderful having you back. And I hope that by the end of the week you have a cake dog.
Oh, me too.
Before we can tell you how the telephone works, we must say a little about sound.
Thanks so much to Essek for helping us work out if we're sitting in cold tea, and of course for answering Ava's questions. And look, I do hope you like the answers, Ava, and if not, please do leave any complaints you have inside a grape. Thanks. If you have a question that needs answering, a joke that you want read out on the show, or you just want to send in anything at all, please do get your stinkbag stupidos, I'm sorry, grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. Check out when our live shows are near you at comedyclubforkids.co.uk. Have a look at our t-shirts and book at comedyclubforkids.store. And also, please do subscribe and listen to the Bust or Trust podcast, which I also co-host and write. We've just finished season one, so there are loads and loads of brilliant mysteries to catch up on, all on the dancing plague of Europe, the curse of the ancient Egyptian mummies, the tomb of Genghis Khan. There's loads and loads, and they're all brilliant fun. And yeah, as you can hear, I'm doing everything fine by myself now. I didn't need those people calling my head through the headphones to advise me after all. I can do it all by myself, which is quite exhilarating, really, when you realise just how independent you are. And I don't need to buy new headphones either, so that's a win. Oh, that's coming from inside my headphones. How weird. I'd better just put them on. Hello?
Hello, it is us, the Nonsense Wizards, and we are back to help you do the show. So sorry we've not been around, but we had some new Wi-Fi put in, and it took ages to get an engineer appointment. You know what it's like.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'll be honest, I've been doing the show without you, as I just thought my headphones were broken.
What?
Yeah, and I've managed just fine with my microphone.
To speak to the small creatures.
Yes, of course, that's what microphones are for. I've been through that. So look, I'm thinking, Pod Wizards, I'm going to do this by myself from now on. There's no need for you to keep calling me with instructions every single week on how to do it.
Oh, cool. That means we can spend more time eating ice cream and shouting rude words at bears. Woohoo!
Ah, there you see. It all works out at the end. Oh, what now? Come on. Hello?
We have a complaints department. Your microphone doesn't work for me. We had 7 million complaints from kids. Bees, wood ice, and a tiny green coat barnet. We're very, very angry.
Ugh,
Okay, come on in and tell me all about it, and you can inspect the microphone if you like. Right, the microphone is just over. Oh, wait, where have you gone? Guys? Uh-oh. I mean, it all works out in the end. Bye!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense, radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense.
It's the end.